Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to Heartland Politics here on KBUR AM-FM, Burlington, Iowa. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and we're down to under 3 weeks until the Iowa caucuses on February 3rd, 2020. It's the first contest in the Democratic nomination process. We've had most of the candidates here on talking with us here to our listeners throughout this campaign season, and in our last couple weeks here, we're going to focus on trying to get a couple more on. And today, I've got a gentleman on who's been on TV quite a bit. Many of our listeners have probably seen him. He's Tom Steyer, and I'm very pleased to have him on with us today. Tom Steyer, welcome to Heartland Politics.
Robin, thank you so much for having me.
The first question I'd like to ask that I've asked all the Democratic presidential candidates is, your assessment of the state of the economy. Things are looking pretty good in a lot of areas. How do you look at things, and what, if you're elected president, what would you plan to do to address the economy to keep the current expansion going?
Well, I think the economy is working well for the people who are at the top end of the income spectrum, but it's not working well for about 90% of Americans, Robin. I mean, what's really happened, not just this year, not just during Mr. Trump, but for 40 years, is that people at the top have done really well, and everybody else is really struggling, and that's definitely true in Iowa. It's definitely true in rural America. And what we can see is there's been a series of tax cuts for rich people and big corporations that have worked really well for them, and have made it look like the economy as a whole is growing, and it is, but all the money's going to the rich people. So from my standpoint, the key here is not to have a growing economy, but having a growing economy that helps everybody, not just the richest Americans. And that's why people are so dissatisfied, and it's particularly true in Iowa.
One aspect of the economy, Tom, and I know you're familiar with this, is manufacturing, and that's been very important over the years in southeast Iowa, counties like Des Moines here, where our show originates from, Lee County, south of us. We used to have, 30 to 40% of our jobs in manufacturing, and median incomes were a lot higher. Now manufacturing's decline, incomes have gone down with it. I guess my question is, how important is manufacturing in your vision of the future American economy, and what can we do to kind of lift it up more to get more of those good-paying jobs in manufacturing?
Robin, I think those good-paying union jobs are unbelievably important. And that's why what you just said to me actually was a reflection of what I think the true reality is. And of course, I've been to Des Moines County, but my number one priority here is climate. And people think, okay, that's about the environment, and it is. But it's also the biggest jobs program in the history of the United States. We are talking about rebuilding the United States really everywhere. We're particularly talking about partnering with farmers, but we're talking about having to rebuild buildings, having to rebuild the electrical grid. We are talking really about creating millions and millions of good-paying union jobs across this country. And, we know that's happened in terms of the wind industry in Iowa, but we're talking about something that's just the tip of the iceberg. And so what you just said to me is the country's doing well, but the people in Des Moines County aren't doing well. And that's what, when you ask me how the economy's doing, that's what I tried to say is, it looks good from a top line, but if you pull open the hood, you see that, in fact, that people are really suffering. And I believe the start of the return on this is this huge jobs program that we have to undertake to solve our climate crisis, but that I think will dramatically change the lives of Americans across the world, across the country.
Would you please get into a few of the details of your program here? And I think most importantly for people out there, maybe the timeline. I mean, is this where the effects of job creation wouldn't be 10 years or 5 years down the line? How do you envision that if you're elected?
Robin, I've said I will declare a state of emergency on day one and get going on day one. This is a crisis that is an emergency. And I would use the emergency powers of the presidency right away to start determining how we generate and use energy, what kind of cars we build, building codes, so that, in fact, buildings have to be renovated for energy efficiency. We're literally talking about rebuilding the United States of America, and we're doing it on an accelerated basis. And, it's going to be good paying union jobs. So we're talking from day, that's, I said state of emergency day one, which means job creation day one.
When a lot of people, especially in rural areas, farmers, people in really small towns, smaller than Burlington here, hear the words climate change, they fear. They fear for, I think, that's my perception anyway, my discussions with them. It's like you can almost tell they tighten up. They're coming after us to limit and change the way we do business and fundamentally change agriculture. Address the folks out there listening in who farm or live in small towns, how this could impact them.
You know, Robin, that's a great question. And before I answer it, let me say this. I'm somebody who raises grass-finished cattle, chickens, and pigs in my home state of California. So I'm coming at this from the perspective of actually being a farmer. And let me say that what we want to do, farmers are a big part of the solution here. What we want to do is go to farmers and partner with them and talk about how they can be leaders in terms of solving this problem. When people use fancy words like sequester carbon, what that really means is planting and growing things. Iowa farmers have been innovating for centuries. I'm not going to come to Iowa and tell them how to grow things. I'm going to come and want to partner with them in solving this problem and pay them for the service they're doing to the country and the world. So this is good. This should be a dramatic revenue source for farmers, but we're going to partner with them, not tell them what to do. Everybody hates being told what to do in their livelihood. I hate it. But it's also, I don't know as much about what they're talking about as they do by a long shot. So the question is, how do we partner together to solve a problem that we have together?
Is this, do you see this, Tom, as a program of economic growth? I mean, some of the debate I see out there is people are concerned that the Democrats are going to come in and then take all the tax revenue and redistribute it where there won't be enough growth to pay for the programs. And these are put as kind of either or. You see what I mean? How would you respond to that? Yeah.
Okay, let me just say this. I spent over 30 years in the private sector. I built a business from scratch, but my actual job was to figure out what makes companies successful, what makes countries successful, what makes regions successful economically in terms of growth, job creation, and prosperity. So I think it's true. People are scared that Democrats don't know what the heck they're doing in terms of job creation and growth. And yet that's the thing I know the best because I started a business from scratch and grew a business from scratch, and I know that better than anybody. That's literally, I've spent decades on that in a way that nobody else who's running be a Democrat can talk about. Nobody has a comparable. And in fact, Mr. Trump, I'd love to have this conversation with Mr. Trump because he's a fake business person who failed as a business person. And now I think he's doing a terrible job economically for the American people for exactly the reason that you've brought up in this interview, that people in Des Moines County are actually hurting. The good paying jobs are going away and farmers are hurting. I think it's impossible to look at this and not realize that Mr. Trump's failed trade wars have been terrible for Iowa farmers. His waivers to oil refineries about biofuels have been terrible for Iowa farmers. And we need somebody who can substantively understand what grows an economy. And I spent 30 years figuring out just that.
That's a great segue, Tom, into my next question, which deals with trade. It's kind of a mixed bag sometimes, I think, for our area. Certainly, trade and globalization has led to more markets for agricultural goods, which has helped, but it's also played a major role, along with automation, in hurting our manufacturing sector. How, as president, would you balance that and specifically talk about our relations with China and then the USMCA deal? How would you look at this trade and to balance the positives with the negatives?
Well, I think that in terms of the trade with China, we have a complicated relationship with China. And I know that they do things, and I personally know from sitting in rooms and having conversations with people from China that they do the things that they're being accused of, like stealing intellectual property and closing markets to our businesses. And that's bad. But Mr. Trump's response, which is a trade war, which has punished Iowa farmers, which has punished American consumers and American workers across the board, is a straight-up failure. I would go about that completely differently, and I'd end his trade war on day one. It, you know, in this case, trade with China, being the largest customer of Iowa farmers in terms of corn and beans, is something that that's a straight-up good for us. And Mr. Trump has, you know, done a terrible job in terms of preserving and growing that straight up, and that's bad. What we've tended to look at in terms of trade is it good for GDP? And that is an important consideration, but it's far from the only consideration, because then the question becomes, if it's good for GDP, but it's only good for the 1% at the top, that's not good for 99% of Americans, and that means it's not good. So there's been a real question in terms of jobs about trade. And the other thing that is absolutely critical for my family, look, I take the climate crisis extremely seriously. And the other thing that trade has done is it's ignored climate, and therefore people have signed things that have been very bad for climate. And so when I look at a trade deal, I want to make sure, first of all, that it takes care of American workers for the reason you said. We don't want to do a trade deal that's going to take jobs away from Americans. That just doesn't make any sense. But we also don't want to do a trade deal that leaves the climate in a shambles that we can't get back from. So that's how I think about a trade deal. Overall, trade is good, but there are parameters around it that you cannot breach and consider it a successful deal. And in the past, we've done that. And that's why those trade deals, people have, you know, been upset by them. They've been correctly upset by them because they've followed this pattern of if GDP goes up, it's good, without looking at the fact that if GDP goes up, but it hurts 99% of Americans, that's not good.
Time for two more questions here. Tom, my first one is this. I've been reading current concerns expressed from economists and others about the tools that the federal government would have available when we have our next recession. And let's just say that, when. It's not a question of if. We've been blessed with some good job growth here for a record number of months, but that just means it's a matter of time before we do turn the economy turns south. We're running a $1 trillion deficit. As president, if the economy does take a turn south, what tools would we have available to, say, do like an infrastructure program without running up the deficit more?
Robin, how many times are the Republicans going to leave the country in a shambles? Yes, I completely understand that we have record low interest rates and record high deficits at a time of low unemployment. So if things get bad in terms of having a recession or a setback economically, that they basically, the cupboard is bare in terms of things we can do. Do I understand that? Heck yes. Mr. Trump is a failed economic president on many levels, but one of those levels is this is what he does. You know, he went bust on a series of casinos by overpromising, by running up the debt, and then going bankrupt. And what you're describing is that process where we're his latest Atlantic City casino project on its way to going bust. Yes, do I understand that? I spent 30 years in the private sector. I understand that you have to pay your bills or you go bankrupt, which is what Mr. Trump has traditionally done. That's his way of doing business. What we have to do, and I've said I'd do it, is we have to undo these tax breaks for the richest Americans and the biggest corporations. I'm for a wealth tax. We've redistributed the wealth in this country to the richest people in the country from everybody else. And I'm proposing, if we treat passive investment income at the same schedule that we charge people for going to work every day and doing their jobs, we can afford a 10% tax cut for 95% of Americans. So we're doing the taxes wrong. You know, when you look at a $1 trillion deficit, the answer is, yeah, he created that with his giveaways to rich people and big corporations, and we need to take back those giveaways and put in a wealth tax and do what I'm talking about, which is treat passive investment income the same way we treat earned income. And if we do that, then all that problem goes away. And if we don't, then we're sitting there with our fingers crossed, hoping it won't rain. Well, eventually it's going to rain, as you said.
Here's my final question. I'd like you to talk directly to folks out there in our listening area who voted for Barack Obama for president, but also voted for Donald Trump. Iowa, as you know, had the most counties of any state in the nation that voted for Obama twice and Trump. And that's going to be a critical part of getting the state back for the Democrats to possibly win the presidency. If you're the nominee, what message would you have for these folks to get them back in the fold, so to speak, the Democratic fold after voting for Donald Trump?
Look, Robin, both Barack Obama and Donald Trump were really running as symbols of change. Very different people, very different messages. But what I'm saying actually is a statement that I think everybody in Iowa and across America knows is true, which is this government is broken in Washington, D.C. It's been bought by corporations. We were just talking about the fact that the corporations and the overall GDP and the rich people are doing fine, but the people in Des Moines County aren't. And what I'm saying is we're not going to solve this until we take back the government. And I've spent 10 years as an outsider putting together coalitions of Americans, getting people together at the grassroots to take on and beat these corporations. I have a history of doing it. I have a 100% desire to do it, and I'm not wondering whose side I'm on. I am 100% on the side of normal American people. And I am 100% against what's happened, which is that these corporations are basically having their way with us and having their way with the people of Des Moines County. It's not that complicated. They're getting a ton of money at our expense, and we're suffering. And that is going to end. And that is actually exactly what has to happen. And we shouldn't complicate it too much. Will I get rid of the waivers to Mr. Trump's rich old friends running the oil refineries? Yes, I will. On day one. Will I get rid of the trade war that he started on day one? On day one. My whole goal in this is to actually get people back to a place where the money is shared reasonably fairly, because it is a country mile from fair, and where we're going to have to go out and aggressively take these people on and beat them. And I've been doing it for 10 years. And if you think that kind of energy is coming from Washington, D.C., I think that's baloney.
Tom Steyer has been our guest today on Heartland Politics. Tom, I really appreciate you taking the time. I know the schedule's getting tight. We're headed down to the caucus date, but I really appreciate you taking the time to be our guest today.
Well, Robin, it's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.